today. From the foothills of the Appalachian Mountains to around the world, it's Pastor Tommy Bates, Bridging the Gap.
Give the Lord a shout of praise. Hallelujah.
Bridging the Gap with Pastor Tommy Bates, who has a unique calling and gift of God to preach a contemporary message with the old-time anointing. Get ready for a move of the Holy Ghost and be blessed as the Word becomes bread to the eater and seed to the sower. Now here's the voice from Kentucky, Pastor Tommy Bates.
Praise the Lord. This is Pastor Tommy Bates, and I'm so excited to be with you today. And first of all, I want to thank all of my partners, knowing what God's doing. Here I am, a Pentecostal preacher, my grandparents, great-grandparents, great-grandparents at the turn of the century received this mighty baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. I'm preaching today out of Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15 is the lost and found chapter. We have a lost sheep, a lost coin, and a lost son. The portion of Scripture I want to look at today is the lost coin. Now, this isn't just a bunch of coins that were lost. These coins were sewn together to make a garland. This was a piece of ornamental jewelry that was worn by a woman who was engaged or married. It just simply meant, I'm not available. And she loses one of these coins. And then she begins to search the house and look diligently until she finds it. I want you to listen right now and watch this program as we go into Central Baptist as I preach on this message. Something has happened. She doesn't have what she had when she first met him. She's asleep. Somebody's going to wake her up. In Song of Solomon chapter 5 verse 2, this is the woman talking. This is the bride talking. She says, I sleep, but I hear a knocking on the door. Who is it? It's Jesus. It's not Tommy Bates here to wake you up. It's not Tommy Bates or Rod Parsley or Ron Phillips to wake anybody up. Jesus Christ is doing a stirring in His church. I said, Jesus is doing a stirring in His church. He's stirring every nation. He's stirring every kindred, every tongue. He's stirring every facility, anything that ever has represented the blood of the cross, anything that's ever represented the virgin birth, He is stirring that place up. He is getting His bride awake in the name of Jesus. She said, my beloved is knocking on the door. But here's her response. She says, I've put off my coat. Jesus said in Luke chapter 24, He said, go and tarry ye in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. That word endued means clothed with a cloak. It means covered with a coat. She said, I've taken off my power. Now listen, power isn't noise and power isn't shouting. Those are the things we do because of the power. The power is in John 1:12, as many as received Jesus, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. The power is when the liar quits lying and the alcoholic quits the drinking and the druggie quits taking the dope. That's what the power is. What good is it for us to build big, huge sanctuaries and everybody in there still bound up, tied up, drugged up, doped up, going through the same mess that everybody else is going through? All you've got there is just a big sanctuary holding a bunch of sinners. What we need is a revival. What we need is a move of God. What we need is a shaking and a quaking of the power of God to put us back on the right path where we need to be. Oh, we give You praise. We give You glory. She said, I've taken off my coat. I don't no longer say in the name of Jesus, come out, devil. I eat breakfast with oppression every day. I have lunch with oppression. Depression's on my back. I don't cast out the devil. I'm not speaking with new tongues. I'm not laying hands on the sick. I'm not taking up the powers of darkness. I am not treading on scorpions and serpents and all manners of evil. I'm not doing that anymore. I've taken off my coat. The second thing she said is, I've washed my feet. And you know what feet represent, don't you? Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand stand in this evil day, having the helmet of salvation, your breastplate of righteousness, your loins girded with the truth, and your feet shod with the preparation of the good news of peace. It means and it represents evangelism. She said, I'm tired of knocking on doors. I'm tired of that bus ministry. I'm tired of evangelizing. I don't want to put up a tent anymore. The tent days are over. The Brush Arbor days are over. I'm not talking about putting up a tent because of memory. I'm talking about going into the city, going somewhere where the druggie's just taking the needle out of his arm and where sin abounds, and saying, listen, I am the light of the world. I'm the salt of the earth. I'm here to make a difference. I'm here to make influence. That's the kind of aggressive behavior that the church has been destined and has been purposed for in the name of Jesus. It is our job to do what Christ did. And Jesus said, I came for one purpose. I didn't come to put on a big show and to have a seminar. I didn't come for these things. I'm having the seminar and the big crowds and feeding the hungry for this purpose. I came to destroy the works of the devil. That's what Christ came to do. And that's what our responsibility is. The woman said, I no longer have a desire to evangelize like I did. I've taken off my power. But Jesus wouldn't stop. The man, Jesus, the bridegroom, kept on knocking. Song of Solomon, chapter 5. She said he put his hand in the hole of the door. His hand represents what he does in our life. It's the goodness of the Lord that brings men to repentance. You can preach hell, 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 and most of the world don't even believe in hell. I know most preachers don't because of the way they use the word hell in the pulpit nowadays. You know, I was a school teacher. I got my bachelor's and master's in education. I've heard more profanity and vulgarity coming out of pulpits. If I would have been in a public school, that child would have been taken to the office and would have had some form of discipline over the words that they use, and the preachers are using the same type of profanity and vulgarity. I've never heard so much cussing from the pulpit, never heard so much vulgarity, and I know I'm not a big shot preacher, and I don't claim to be any big shot preacher. I'm just here to proclaim what God has done in my life. And the story of it is this. The pulpit has got to clean up. There's got to be integrity. Come back to the house of God. We've got to reclaim some things that we've lost. Jesus put his hand in the hole of the door. And when he did, he wouldn't stop. He would not stop his works, his hand. He said, let me show you how that I put food on your table, shoes on your feet, and how I put a covering over your head. Let me show you the things that I've done in your life. And the Bible said when she saw his hand, I don't know what's going to happen in America for the church to wake up to see the hand of God. I pray we've had enough disasters and terrorist attacks and things of this sort. But I want us to see the hand of mercy. I want us to see the hand of God. She said, when I saw the hand of God, I ran and put my hand on the locks of the door. And when I did, my fingers dripped with myrrh. Now let me tell you what myrrh is. Myrrh is what Jesus was wrapped in. The Bible said they wrapped him in 100 pounds of myrrh when he was crucified. What she's saying is this, my fingers are dripping with Calvary. The church has got to make a trip back to the cross of Calvary. And understand that in Him I live, in Him I move, and in Him I have my being. He bore my sins in His body. There's nothing I can do to deserve it, to earn it. It's by the grace of God that I'm saved through faith, and that not of myself. It is the gift of God. The church that's coming awake is coming back to a blood relationship with Christ, a covenant relationship with Christ. They're coming back with myrrh dripping off of their fingers. Oh, can we lift our hands and give Him some praise? That's in the old covenant, in the new covenant. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. It's the same bridegroom. He's not talking to the sinner. He's talking to a church that's locked him out. They've learned how to sing in the choir without Jesus. They've learned how to preach without Jesus. They've learned how to go through the motions without Jesus. They've learned how to have a television ministry without Jesus. They've learned how to go through everything without Jesus. It's just been like that. He's outside the door saying, wow, I mean, you know, we're getting ready for a wedding and I'm locked out. I'm knocking. I want to be put back in my house. I want to be put back in. Hallelujah. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Now we get to Luke chapter 15, and we find that this woman finally wakes up. shakes herself. There's awakening coming right now. Do you hear what I'm saying? There is an awakening, a spiritual, supernatural encounter with God. And she wakes up, and the first thing she says when she wakes up is, "Oh my, I'm not what I used to be. I don't have what I used to have. Something is missing." Not everything's missing, folks. She didn't lose all 10 coins. She only missed one. We haven't lost everything, folks. I said, we haven't lost everything. We're not in that bad a shape. Do you hear what I'm talking about? There's not 10 gone out of 10. There's only one gone out of 10. But we'll never have the consummation of the wedding until we find that which is lost. God is, oh, hallelujah. Can we lift our hands and say, "Speak to us now, Jesus"? Praise God, praise God. Speak to us. We haven't lost everything. We haven't lost everything, but we have lost some things. And when she came to herself, the Bible said that, oh, I've lost something. I don't have what I had. I don't have what I'm supposed to have. And oh my, there's a wedding getting ready to take place. And I have to have my garland. I have to have it. I have to have it. So the Bible said she lit, the King James says candle, but the real interpretation is a lantern. Now before you can have a lantern, you've got to have oil and you've got to have fire. You've got to have fire. Can you all handle all this information this fast? There's enough preaching material in here for you preachers. You can preach for the next 6 months if you just take a little portion of this. In order to get light, now let's get what the light is first. The light is the glory. Isaiah chapter 60, "Arise, shine, for the light is come, and the glory of the Lord has risen up on thee. For darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the glory shall rise upon thee." So the glory and the light are synonymous. They are together. They're inseparable. Hallelujah. Now, what kind of light are we talking about? Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was void and without form. And darkness was upon the face of the earth. And God said, no, the Spirit of God moved. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Somebody said, "Thank God for the stars, the moon, and the sun." They didn't come to the fourth day. There were 4 days without the stars, the moon, and the sun. What kind of light was it? It was Shekinah light. It was glory light. It was Nehoi. It was the light of the glory. It was the light of the presence of God. It was the light that creates things. It took a void, dark earth and started putting green grass on it. It called the stripes to come on the zebra. It caused the giraffe's neck to stretch out. It caused that ostrich to have a long leg and start walking. It caused the elephant's trunk to start swinging. It created an oak tree, a walnut tree. I'm telling you, when the light comes in the house, when the light comes in the house, there's going to be, listen, you can't have finding until you have light. We've had some little shallow rejoicing, but not the rejoicing that's coming, because rejoicing follows finding, and finding follows searching, and searching comes after the light. We've got to have the glory. Now we've got to have the glory. We've got songbooks, we've got pews, we've got musicians, we've got orchestras. We have got to have the glory of the presence of Almighty God. Hallelujah. Oh, we give you praise. Now let's "Let there be light," and there was light, the glory, the Shekinah glory. Now let's go back to this light. I read a magazine called Science Today. They said if we could find the central nucleus of all created things, because they understand that protons, neutrons, electrons, and molecules, all of these things have derived from radiation. Radiation comes from light. Radiation comes from light. Hallelujah. 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 They said if we can only find the central nucleus of radiation, they said somewhere in the cosmos, somewhere beyond the stars and the planets, there is a central nucleus of all created things. Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul said, "I knew a man about 14 years ago, whether he was in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. But he was caught up beyond the first heaven, which is the atmosphere, He was caught up beyond the second heaven, which is the planets, the stars, and the galaxies. He was caught up into the third heaven. He was caught up into a literal place where there is a tabernacle, where there is a throne chair, where there is something called the stones of fire. The stones of fire. Hallelujah. The stones of what? That's what science today is looking for. The stones of fire. Where is that created source of radiation? Where is that place that has a consuming fire? Our God is a consuming fire. You read Ezekiel chapter 28 and it talks about Lucifer, the fallen cherub. Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, I beheld Satan fall as lightning from heaven. Don't rejoice because demons are subject unto you, but rejoice because your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. He said, I watched that angel fall. But Ezekiel chapter 28, the great prophet, he gets a glimpse through the Holy Ghost of the past. He sees Lucifer created with all of the beautiful gems, all of the diamonds and emeralds. He's the most beautiful, the most intelligent, and the most talented. And the Bible said in Ezekiel 28 that Lucifer, he walked among the stones of fire. He would have the angels to sing praise. They would sing holy, 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 holy as Lucifer would come in to the very presence of God. And the worship would get so intense. You hear what I'm talking about, you worship people? That's why worship is so important. Because Lucifer got heaven in such an intense worship that he was able to swish his feet. Hallelujah. In the creative part of God, the creative heart of God, the creative portion of heaven, he was able, the Bible said, to walk among the stones of fire. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Are you ready for something? I said, are you ready for something? Can we handle more? Can we handle more? Oh, listen to this. Jesus came to fulfill what Adam lost in the garden. Adam was here to become prophet. He was here to be priest, and he was here to be king. Jesus Christ came to this earth as prophet. That's the voice of God on this earth. Never a man spake like this man. Hallelujah. He spoke to the winds and the seas obeyed. He spoke to the lame, they began to walk. He spoke to the deaf ears and they opened up. He spoke and things began to happen. Jesus Christ has fulfilled the complete work of the prophet on the face of this earth. But Jesus Christ now is priest. He is my high priest. I have a priest. I have a high priest who can be touched by the feelings of my infirmities, who was tempted in all ways like I am, yet without sin. Hallelujah. But one day, he is coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He will be King, but presently he ever liveth. Ever liveth. Help me preach a little bit. I don't need an organ if you'll say glory. Glory. That's it. Hallelujah. Glory. I said he ever liveth to make intercession for us. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. But you know what the high priest would do? Watch this. The high priest would come in with the holy mitre. He would come in with the stones on his beautiful vesture. He would come in with prayer bells on the bottom of his garment. But when he come to the stones of fire, when he came to the holy place, when he came to the place where the Shekinah light was coming, in the outer court was natural light. In the inner court was the golden candlestick. But in behind the veil, oh, I said in behind the veil was the same light that created the heavens and the earth. It's the Shekinah glory. And when the high priest would come in, he would take off, he would stand in front of the veil. Then he would take off his holy mitre. He would take off those vesture. He would put on the simple servant white linen garment. He would come into the Shekinah glory and God would turn the lights on. Hallelujah. When he took that basin of blood and sprinkled it on the mercy seat, God would turn on the lights. I said God would turn on the lights. Oh, In Ezekiel chapter 10, it's the strangest scripture that's stuck in the middle of that book. Old commentaries, they just ruin it. Don't, at this point you say, Holy Ghost, give me understanding to Ezekiel chapter 10. Because those commentaries, Baptist, Methodist, Pentecost, whatever commentary they are, they'll have you all over the place. But they won't get what's really happening. Because in Ezekiel chapter 10, he said, I looked and I saw a firmament and I saw sapphire stones. I saw fire. And then I saw a man with the white linen on. I saw a man with white linen. Oh, yes. Who is the man in the white linen? He is the ever-present high priest, whoever liveth to make intercession for us. Said, I saw the man in the white linen. He went in between the wheels. Ezekiel said, I saw a wheel in a wheel. I saw a wheel in a wheel. I saw something moving. I saw it with a face like a lion. Hallelujah. A man, an eagle, and an ox. I saw something powerful. Oh, he walked in behind the wheels. And the Bible said he went in behind the cherub. And he went in and he took his hand and he scooped up coals of fire. And he sprinkled them over the city. The city is Jerusalem. Because I heard a sound from heaven like a rushing and a mighty wind. And it filled the house where they were sitting. And cloven tongues. Why has the man got the coals in his hand? Because he's getting ready to take the creative power that's in the heavenlies. And he's getting ready to put it somewhere else. Who has believed our report? Who can believe that the stronghold of God has come to mankind? Oh, who can believe it? Who can believe that the blood's going to be sprinkled in the heavenlies? And once the blood has been applied, that the man in the white linen, he's going to come in between the cherubim and the seraphim. He's going to go in between the wheels and he's going to scoop up coals of fire and he's going to sprinkle them upon the church, his bride, his Shulamite, his love, his divine. Oh, let's give God a shout of praise.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Just to think today that the very creative power of God is resonant in us through the power of the Holy Spirit when Jesus Christ comes to live in our heart, comes to dwell within us. Hallelujah. That's just overwhelming to me.
My sister was 2 weeks old, scheduled for major surgery. She had some internal problems that she was born with. Her navel was ruptured and there was internal things on the other side of her navel. One of our old preachers was there that night and he couldn't read or write. Oh, that wouldn't be acceptable now, would it? But when the Holy Ghost would move, he would open up the Bible just like this and start reading without one mispronunciation. His face would light up. He said, I feel fire burning in my hands. My mother jumped up, threw her little ponytail back, carried that 2 week old baby up. She said, my baby's going to have surgery next week. He took his hands. He couldn't read or write. Took his hands, laid on my sister. God performed major surgery. She was healed. I've seen alcoholics sober in a split second. I could tell you stories. I have 50 years of my lifetime. I could tell you stories. You would say, I don't know how that's even possible. I'm telling you, when the light shines, one of the greatest holiness preachers that ever preached, and we would sit and listen to him and his face would shine like an angel. At Booth Hospital, they gave him just hours to live, and his granddaughter was up here singing last night with Pastor Parsley. I've known all these people for years. They gave him, he checked himself out of the hospital. The doctor said, you leave this hospital, you're a dead man. He said, we're just going to give you a little longer to live. He got himself dressed. I heard Sister Hensley, I went to her house the other day, 86 years old. She tell me the story, and in between the stories, she'd stop a while and go, bless your holy. Whoa, holy. and speak in the unknown tongue. I said, sister, she said, I was an eyewitness. She said, I wouldn't help him get dressed because I was afraid he was going to die. I want some of you preachers to start making your way up here while I finish this story. You that really want something to happen. You want some finding to take place. You preachers, missionaries, evangelists, ministry, I want you to come first and I want everybody else behind it. Wants something to happen in this final moments of this altar service. Sister Hensley looked at me and said, we wouldn't help him get dressed. She said, he was so pitiful. Said, but after he got his clothes on, we put him in the car and he got him home. And I looked at him and I said, well, Harley, what am I going to do with you now? She said, his face already looked like a dead man. He said, Audney, do what the Bible says. Call for the elders of the church. Anoint me with oil. Sister Martha Feltz from down in the Appalachian Mountains was up in Newport, Kentucky visiting her sisters. She got her two sisters that were prayer warriors and O.A. Morgan, and they came over to that house. They anointed him with oil. He got all the bed and he said he felt two hands reach around him. Now the cancer had already eaten through his body and he had two big open wounds here with patches on him and a bandage all the way around his waist. They left and he said he was healed, but there was no manifestation of his healing. The Lord appeared to him in a vision. He said, I want you to go to Harlan County where you came from. I want you to preach a revival. I'm going to start the revival on Sunday night, because on Sunday morning at 12 o'clock noon, I'm going to take cancer out of your body. Listen, I have eyewitnesses in my church. I have about 25 people that were there and saw it. Brother Harley went down to Wallens Creek, Kentucky, told everybody else to go to church. He said, take me. They took him up on the mountain. And up on the mountain there, up on the hillside, and I've been to the spot, up on that mountain. Any of you else that want to come beside these preachers, you're welcome to come down now. Anybody else? We're going to have a prayer here, corporate prayer. She told me when they got home from church, it was about 11:40. Said we were all sitting in the house. Brother, she said, Harley told me he took his watch off and laid it on a stump. He had to sit on the ground. He was so weak. 12 o'clock noon came. She said he stood up, had no manifestation of power. He said, I'm going to take these bandages off because I'm healed. He went to reach for the bandages and his body started shaking. He tremored to the point that the bandages fell off. God opened up his stomach, his intestines, pulled out 5 cancers. She told me they looked like mushrooms with roots on them. They fell out in the bandages, cleaned him up without a sign of surgery. Now you listen to this. Not even a sign. Cleaned him up. His skin was perfect. And he came off the mountain at about 12:15. They said, here comes Harley. He's holding something in his hand. The church all went to shouting. They said, why, it's his bandages. And he came down and he laid them on the ground. There were 5 cancers that had dried up like mushrooms. She said there's about the size of a little larger than about the size of a baseball with roots on them. And he carried those. She said, Brother Tommy, if we had any sense, we'd have preserved them. But she said, Harley carried them around in his car. And he held revival, she said, for I don't know how many months until they finally dissolved. He would go to a church, open up his trunk, say, look what the Lord has done for me. Hundreds of people were saved. Listen, healing is not just so we can be healed. It's a testimony that, which is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven, or take up your bed and walk. But that you may know the Son of Man has power to remove sins. That's what Jesus wants to do, is to reconcile this lost world back to the Father.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Every time I hear those testimonies of my sister's healing and Brother Harley Hensley, my heart, my faith is increased. Now, there's maybe many of you out there watching, and you've never experienced the mighty power of the Holy Spirit. At the bottom of your screen is a toll-free number. If you have a prayer request, a praise report, or you want to partner with this ministry, then we have prayer partners that are waiting right now, some of the best in the world. They're back there. I watch them. Their hearts are filled with faith as they minister unto you. But one of the things that the Lord had me to do in this Pentecostal church that I pastor, because we have so many Baptists and Methodists and Catholic and Nazarene and some that were Buddhists and Hindu that have come and been saved in the house of God, I had to take my time, literally take my time. This is 6 hours of teaching called Experiencing the Holy Spirit. Experiencing the Holy Spirit. This will be a blessing to you if you have no idea what we're talking about. We're talking about the Spirit of the living God, the baptism in the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, the gifts of the Spirit. Now, it doesn't cover all the gifts of the Spirit and those things in details. This is more of a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. We have this. It's offered here, and you can call the number on the screen to order, or you can go to visit our website at TommyBates.com. I'm believing God's doing incredible things in these last days, and I know you're believing for that too. We can partner together. I've preached in the Assembly of God, the Baptist Church, the Church of God in Christ, the Church of God Cleveland Assembly. We are seeing incredible moves of God all across America and even around the world. And I'm giving Him praise for that. I want you to join with me in prayer for this ministry as we unite together, bridging the gap between experiences of the past to experiences today. God bless you is my prayer. Now, one of the songs that I've written on this music project, Victory and Praise, is a song the Lord gave me called Come Home to the Father's House. I want you to listen to that song now as we go there.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's give Him one more praise. Glory, glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This song goes to everyone that needs to come back to the Father's house. Let's give Him thanks for that. Oh, the Bible tells a story of a father and a wayward son. He said, give me, oh, give me. Give me the portion that is mine.
Father's house. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.